بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 30th of January in the year 2016 and alhamdulillah I've been certainly going through all the key events that takes place after a person passes away. First talking about the incredible journey of the soul, and then when it's returned to the body, thereafter mentioning the important incidents that would take place in the grave. And yesterday I mentioned the great honor that would be given to the believer after he has successfully answered the questions and passed his test. So naturally, to spend the session now on the outcome of the trial of the unbeliever. So this narration is in Abu Dawud, Ahmad and others. Shaykh Al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi states Sahih in Sahih Al-Targhib, number 3558. Sayyidina Al-Bara ibn Azib radiyallahu, he relates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, a caller will call from the heavens, spread for him the furnishings from the fire, and open for him a door to the fire. Thus its heat, fierce hot wind will reach him, and his grave also tightens around him, causing his ribs to break. So let's stop the report. So note, one of the ways you can easily memorize the unfolding scenario is that you can just reverse what's happening to the believer. But there are certain things that are mentioned that are specifically for the unbeliever. So yesterday I mentioned that the furnishings of paradise are given to the believers in their grave. But here it mentions that the furnishings from the fire are placed in the grave. So what does that mean? So furnishing means that you're catering for the room. It simply means there will be things taken out of the fire and placed in the grave of the unbeliever. So whatever it is, it must be horrific. And then it says, a door itself opens from the fire. So now this is why we can't use physics, because the hellfire obviously is not on the earth. And yet the person's under the 6 foot under, and he's got a doorway to the hell. So the response is, we accept everything what the Prophet mentioned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then it says that the fierce and intense wind reaches him. The Quran mentions Samum. It's a piercing wind that burns, strips the skin of the person. And then if that wasn't enough torture, his grave is then tightened around him, causing his ribs to break. And you only really understand how painful this is if you've ever had a damaged rib. Or even worse, a broken rib. You literally can't breathe. So the grave tightens up, and like the Prophet himself described it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's like a pit of hell. In Tirmidhi, he goes, I've not seen anything more frightening than the tribulation of the grave. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, thereupon before him appears a man with an ugly face, repulsive clothing, and a foul smell. So everything about this man is repulsive. He's ugly, his clothes are disgusting, and he's emitting a foul. So imagine, combine all this. How much punishment is the person going through? And then this man says, I bring you awful news that will displease you. This is the day you were promised. The man responds, bad news from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon you too. Who are you? Your face is one that brings evil. He responds, I am your malicious deeds. By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I only knew you to be slow in obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and quick in disobeying Him. فَجَزَاكَ sharra. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repay you with what is worst. So stop in the report. So note again, very hard to understand. If a person is going through so much punishment, which I've mentioned, how has he then got the ability to understand what's taking place around him and then be able to converse? But the Prophet mentioned it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we don't go into how is it possible. But the conversation is taking place. And the disgusting figure that he sees or she sees is basically the good deeds or the bad deeds of the person. And here it is specifically the bad deeds. Yesterday I mentioned it was the good deeds of the believer. And then his own deeds mentioned to him condemns him. And he finally says, فَجَزَاكَ اللَّهُ شَرَّا. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repay you with what is worst. I mentioned yesterday that the good deeds in the good form for the believer says, فَجَزَاكَ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا. Look how strange, when we say Jazakallahu khair, we say to a person who's done some good to us. We will actually say this, inshallah, to our own deeds. Imagine, it's your deeds, but you're saying, may Allah ta'ala, he will be saying to you, your own deeds will be saying back to you, Jazakallahu khair. Then the report mentions, a blind, deaf and dumb person is appointed for him. He carries in his hand a sledgehammer that if it strikes a mountain, would turn it to dust. He hits him with it once, and he indeed becomes dust. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then restores him as he was, and the person hits him a second time. He emits a shriek that is heard by everything on the earth, except mankind and the jinn. So stop in the report. So who is this? A blind, deaf and dumb person. So other reports mention that this is an angel. Why is it blind? Why is it deaf? Why is it dumb? The response is because it can't show pity. It doesn't know what it's doing. It's been given a command just to use a sledgehammer and is using it. And the power is such that if it struck a mountain, it would turn to dust, let alone a human being in a grave. And when it strikes him the first time, the Prophet ﷺ said, he indeed becomes dust. Look how interesting. He completely pulverizes him. Then he's restored. He hits him a second time and he emits a shriek. Everything he is except the thakalin, the two heavy ones. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, a door is then opened for him to the fire. And he is given from the fire's furnishings. He then says, Rabbi la tukumis sa'a. Oh my Lord, do not launch the hour. In other words, if this is the beginning, he goes, I don't want to see the hour. So this is the complete report. So all of that is recorded in Abu Dawud and it's a Sahih Hadith. So what do you notice? You notice now that the punishment has begun. And this is why in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, about himself, he is shadidul iqab. He is the stern to punish. He is stern in punishment. Why don't we often hear this? Because people talk about the mercy, which is good, but the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not normal. And this is taking place, imagine, at this moment we're speaking in the various graves in the world. It's not something hypothetical, it's actually taking place. So now a question, a person pose, and it's a good question. The hadith clearly says everything hears the pain of that person except the men and the jinn. So did the Prophet say that? He said that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then the person gets confused. He goes, then how is it that the rest of the life is functioning? If the birds have heard this, the animals have heard this, why is it that it looks like they're not even affected by it? So the response is, you have to look at other reports to get the understanding. Another report mentions that it's not all life that hears it. It's specific. Where's the proof? The hadith is in Sahih Muslim. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's traveling and he's on a camel with some other companions. They're on their camels. And they're going past the graveyard. As they're going past the graveyard, suddenly the Prophet's camel, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it starts, you know, it makes a noise out of fear, and it almost threw the Prophet off, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then it calmed. The other companions, they were startled. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I was going to ask our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you hear the tribulation of the grave, the torment. But I realized then that you would stop burying your dead. And the hadith continues. How does that hadith explain this hadith? Why didn't the other camels? The camel obviously heard the punishment of the grave. The other camels did not. It means it's up to the discretion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why you see people walking their dogs in the graveyard and nothing happens. Dog sometimes urinates. But at other times, you'll see suddenly an animal go wild. You will see this. All of a sudden it'll just bolt. As if it's seen something. That is how we explain this report of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is important, because when you read the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, shaitan's job is to confuse you. So whenever you come across any part of the hadith which you think, well, that seems to go against what we know, it means you need to ask. If you don't ask, that doubt will grow and erode your iman, as Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayhi said. So this is the first report. The second adds details. It's in Sahih Muslim, number 2872, Nasa'i, Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, Ibn Hibban, Bazar, Tabrani, Hakim, and Shaykh Albani rahmatullah alayhi states Sahih. In Sahih Al-Tarhib, number 3559-61, it's a combined report. Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, he relates that our beloved messenger, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a door then appears from his grave towards paradise. Note, the previous report doesn't mention paradise at all. It only mentions the door of hell opens. This report says, a door in the grave opens towards paradise. And he views its grandeur and what pleasures it contains. He is told, look at that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deprived you. This could have been your abode. And this is the pleasure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepared for you had you obeyed Him. This adds to his regret and his remorse. You know, the previous reports enough in terms of punishment. It's like other reports adding details. He's getting absolutely hammered, literally. And all of a sudden, he's now looking at paradise. And to make things worse, he's not just looking at it as a general, you know, look. He's shown the very place he would have been. So imagine what he sees in paradise. You know, we can only think of things from the dunya perspective. You look at the women of paradise, you look at... It defies comprehension. He goes, that is what was prepared for you. And foolishly, you didn't work towards it. So this is now a mental torture for him as well. Again, we can't use physics. How can paradise and hell be on the earth? The answer is, this is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He does whatever He wishes. The hadith continues. Another opening appears towards the fire. And he sees its various sections crushing one another. He is told, this will be your abode. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in store for you. So even though he's getting absolutely pulverized, he goes, that is your ultimate home. You can see it. This further adds to his regret and his remorse. A door is then opened from his grave to hell. And he is hit a blow that can be heard by every creature except human beings and jinns. He is then told, Namkama yanamul manhush. Go to sleep like a person bitten by a poisonous serpent or insect. The earth is then told, Al-Tami'i Ali, contract on him. And it thus contracts on him until his ribs break. Thus his punishment continues therein until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises him from that abode. This is the Ma'isha Tundanka, the miserable life which Allah Ta'ala mentions and the Prophet recited, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Surah Taha, Surah 20, verse 124. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةٌ دَنْقَى وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمًا. And whoever turns away from my remembrance, indeed he will have a miserable life. And on the day of resurrection, we will assemble him blind. So let's look at this. So now, like I mentioned yesterday, the believer is told to go to sleep. He tries to go to paradise. He goes, rest. He tries to bring his family. He goes, let me at least inform my family. He goes, rest. Question. A person rests, that means it's a second death. The answer is, it's not a death. His soul is dominant. His soul goes to paradise like the Prophet mentioned. It becomes a bird in paradise. Or if its rank is even further elevated, it becomes a green bird of paradise that traverses. And if his rank is even more elevated, the body actually goes into paradise as well. And the proof of this are reports. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said in Sahih Bukhari, I saw Ja'far ibn Abu Talib radiyallahu anhu flying with the angels in paradise. Because he had the wings of angels. He lost his arms in one of the campaigns. He was marched. That's his body. So there's exceptions to the rule. Also in Hakim Sahih, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I entered paradise and I saw Hamza resting on a couch. Somebody goes, well, the body's in the grave. There's exceptions to the rule. But generally speaking, there's a hierarchy. So whatever the minimum stage is, your body's in the grave, your soul is in paradise. Whatever level Allah Ta'ala wants to give it. There's a connection between the body and soul, like I mentioned yesterday. Why? Because people come to visit you at the grave. So this is so now here, the same thing is mentioned. But the wording is different. This unfortunate wretch, he's told, Namkama yanamul manhush. Go to sleep like a person bitten. Can a person go to sleep if he's bitten? No. So it's just like a way of saying, well, this is your bed. You know, you've prepared your bed, so enjoy it. So his soul is literally being tortured as well as his body in the grave. And then the Prophet said something amazing. He goes, this life that he's living in the grave now, the barzakh, this is ma'ishatun danka. This is the miserable life, which Allah Ta'ala refers to. Look how interesting, he's giving you tafsir. In Surah 20, verse 124, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whoever turns away from my remembrance, فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةٌ دَنْكَ. Verily, he will have a miserable life. وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى. And on the day of resurrection, we will make him blind. The Quran doesn't give you details. So a person reads that passage, he goes, so if a person turns away from his Lord, he lives a miserable life. Is that talking about the world? He just like basically no blessings in his life. Could be. But the Prophet said, it's talking about the punishment of the grave. Now why is this important? Because some people very foolishly say, the torment of the grave and the life of the grave is not mentioned in the Quran. And what they're actually saying is correct, but they don't word it right. What they should say is not explicitly mentioned in the Quran. But it is incorrect to say that it is not mentioned in the Quran. It's mentioned all over the place. The Prophet mentioned it in various passages, both through tafsir. The closest you get to the explicit verse of the Quran is the Qathar, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, Alhaakum at-taqathur hatta zurtumul maqabir. The mutual piling distracts you until you visit the graves. That's the most kind of explicit verse. Why does Allah Ta'ala mention the graves? Because the mutual piling, now look how beautiful Allah Ta'ala describes the world. Because it's just useless piling up. I'm piling my bank account. I'm piling my houses. I'm piling my wardrobe. So Allah Ta'ala goes, taqathur. Because this useless thing that you're doing, piling up, this distracts you until you visit your graves. Why did he say graves? So the ulama said, because something's happening in the grave. He doesn't say qiyamah. The grave. So that seems to be the most clearest passage of the Quran indicating this. And in fact, a hadith indicates that that verse was revealed because of an incident which applies to the grave. Other details. In Sahih Bukhari, in five places, number 86, number 184, number 922, number 1053, number 7287, Sahih Muslim, number 905. Asma radiyallahu, she relates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, The man is told, this will be your place in the fire. And then a beast is let loose on him in his grave, holding a whip as thick as a camel's rope, with its tip made of burning coal. The beast beats him as much as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills. And this beast is deaf, cannot hear him, so as to show him mercy. Astaghfirullah. So note how the hadith add details. So this is in Bukhari and Muslim. So what did the Prophet say? He's describing that deaf, dumb and blind creation. Here he describes it as a beast. He says he's holding a whip. Imagine. The whip is very strange. It's as thick as a camel's rope. That's, we can picture that. But its tip is made of burning coal. So you know, you think burning coal, what, it must be something from the fire. And when he's getting, imagine, isn't he getting enough punishment? This beast is smashing him, pulverizing him. And he goes, the reason he's deaf is because he doesn't want to show mercy. If he hears the agony, it will affect him. And this hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. Another report adding details. In Ahmad Bazan al-Uddus, Shaykh al-Bari rahmatullah alayhi states Sahih in As-Sahira, number 3394. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu, he relates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, a door is then opened towards paradise. And he tells him, this could have been your abode had you believed in your Lord. But because you disbelieved, Allah Ta'ala has substituted for you with this. And a door is opened towards the fire. The angel then strikes him with a club, a blow that is heard by all of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except for the two large communities, the jinn and mankind. Adding details. What details are added? What opens first? He sees paradise first, not the hell. Then he sees the hell. And here another creation is mentioned, an angel with a club. It explicitly mentions an angel. So there's two separate things. One's got a whip. What that is, Allah Ta'ala knows best. This is an angel. And the same strike, everybody can hear it. Now why did the Prophet keep referring to us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-thaqalain, the two heavy ones? Thaqal means heavy. You know, what does that mean? Why are we called the heavy ones? There's, you know, creations heavier than us. Elephants, blue whales, right? So why are we called the heavy ones? Because the Quran says that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ar-Rahman, I will soon turn to you. Or, Ya Thaqalain. And some of the ulama indicate from this holy verse that Allah Ta'ala is dealing with other creatures at the moment. There may be other qiyamahs taking place in other parts of the creation. Because I will soon turn to you. Your term is coming. Why we call the heavy ones? Because we've got a great burden to carry our deeds. So here the Prophet said it again. Heard by all creation except the two large, the two thaqalain. In another report, and this is a combined report from Sayyidina Anas. The first is recorded by Bukhari in his Sahih, number 1374, Sahih Muslim, number 2870. And the second part is recorded by Abu Dawud and Ahmad, and Shaykh Al-Bani, rahmatullah alayhi, states Sahih, in As-Sahihah, number 1344. Anas relates, radiyallahu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he then hits him with an iron club between his ears. And he emits a shriek that is heard by all creatures around him, except the two large communities, the thaqalain. Now it's described as an iron club. And where is it hit? It mentions, right on top of your head, smashes you on the forehead, between the ears. And everything hears it except the two large ones. So all of this is mentioned in the authentic reports of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So now a question to finish. What I've talked about here is that all that takes place in the grave. So you think, okay, you've given us all the references, authentic, and all this is true. So is that it? The answer is no. This is just a glimpse into what's happening in the grave, eye for the pious. And this is just a glimpse to what's happening to the unfortunate wretches in the grave. Why? Because there's far more reports mentioning other things. For example, just mention one. One person, he was very pious, is mentioned in by Hafiz Ibn Qayyim, rahmatullah alayh, in his Kitab al-Ruh. And he basically, somebody asked him, because when did you become firm in your deen? He goes, what I used to do, because I used to rob graves. Because I was a major sinner. And then he goes, but I noticed one day when I went into a grave, there was no grave. Literally nothing. And he goes, the same night I had a dream. And the dream was that the grave was being measured out before the occupant was going to be buried. He goes, once I heard, he goes, 70 yards long, 70 yards wide. Then they went to another grave, and he goes, 10 yards long, 10 yards wide. And he goes, when he got to the grave that I dug, he goes, and he said, fingernail. And then he goes, I woke up and I realized that the person was being punished. He goes, his grave was contracted to the level of a fingernail. He goes, I did tawbah. So all of this is mentioned. Another grave robber who did tawbah. He goes, I once entered the grave and I saw the body, it was hammered with nails. He goes, he had been hammered from his foot to his, all the body had been hammered with nails. And there was one huge nail that had smashed right through his skull into the ground. So he goes, I took the nails out, and with great difficulty, the one in the skull I took out. And then, to quote a long narration show, Hafiz ibn Qayyim mentions, rahmatullah alayh, in Kitab al-Ruh, he took it to a blacksmith. He goes, what's this nail? He looked at it, and he put it into the fire. It wasn't melting. It wasn't even getting heat. He goes, what's this? They took it to the authorities. They explained. He goes, oh, this is something from hell. Because the worldly fire doesn't do anything to it. Right? The worldly fire can't do anything to it. So, reading all the reports I've mentioned, how does that fit in? The response is, this is not the complete picture. Allah Ta'ala may give certain punishments specifically to others. Another report mentions that once in Ash-Sham in Syria, there was a person buried. And then, to quote a long narration show, it's a hadith recorded in Dalam. Because you can dig the grave and take the thing that you've left by accident. When they dug the grave, the body's not there. They go, hey, somebody stolen the body. He went to the authorities. They goes, nobody's dug the grave. He goes, where's the body gone? Then they made investigations to find out about this person. And then they found out that he was a gandu. He was a homosexual. So the scholars then said, oh, you'll find his body in the dead, in the where, you know, where Qawmi Lut is punished. He goes, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said their bodies are transported there to join the Qawm that they love so very much. How does that fit into this? So therefore, when you go through the reports, it's very important to point out this isn't the complete picture, but it's enough for us to understand what's happening. And not forgetting what the Prophet said. Amazing statement. He saw paradise, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He saw hell. He saw the grave. He saw the day of judgment. He saw barzakh. And he goes, I have not seen a more frightening image than the punishment of the grave. Why is that amazing? Because he saw hell. So a person then goes, does that mean that hell, the grave, the punishment of the grave is more traumatic than hell? No. Because the Prophet went on to explain, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's either a garden of paradise or a pit of hell. Meaning literally this is a glimpse of hell. So when somebody goes to you in a 6 foot by 6 foot place in hell, what's happening? Look at the grave. And it really is, you know, absolutely beyond comprehension. But the most truthful one told us, and we believe this absolutely, that Allah alayhi wa sallam. So we ask Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to preserve us from such an abysmal fate. So all I mentioned today was basically the outcome of the trial of the unbeliever. One last thing, sorry to mention. Could this also happen to a Muslim? And the answer is yes. But at a specific time, his punishment stops. Then he is converted into a garden of paradise. And what applies to the believer applies to him. Why do I say that? Because what did I mention yesterday? The wrongdoer, the hypocrite, and the unbeliever. The Prophet mentioned they get the questions messed up. And the punishment comes. Who's the wrongdoer? It's a Muslim. But he's not punished indefinitely. He's punished for a specific period of time, then he's exonerated because of his iman. But who wants to be in that state? Astaghfirullah. There's actually a hadith in Kanzul Umal where the Prophet ﷺ said, most or a large part of my ummah will enter their graves with mountains of sins. But through the du'as of the living, their sins will be forgiven. So there's something there mentioning that something's happening in the grave, but because of the du'as, Allah Ta'ala then takes away the punishment. But we don't want to be in that state. So when you hear these reports, don't start thinking, Alhamdulillah, that's not me. It could be you. It could be you. Therefore, we should be very, you know, careful of that end state. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان ربي حمدي سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر صدق الله العظيم